Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
For being here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Welcome. If this is your first time with us, we are so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home with us this morning. And if you have been here for a long time, we are so grateful that you are here as well. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's great to be with you. I'm grateful to see you here in the midst of this snowstorm that some of us we didn't even know was coming, 2 to 4 inches today, so I hope that somehow you're able to enjoy and take advantage of this beautiful weather. If it's snapping a photograph, or if it's going for a walk in the woods, or whatever it may be, and then this Valentine's weekend, we pray that you would find the source of love in your life, that you would be able to experience that great gift of experiencing love for yourself. And as we gather this weekend, we are continuing a sermon series about amazing grace, the hymn and what grace looks like in our own life, how we experience it, how we share it, how we give it to other people, and how God gives it to us. So we hope that this series is a blessing to you as we gather for worship. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. Hopefully, as you walked into the church this morning, you were handed a white connection card. We encourage you to take a moment to fill these out and let us know that you are here. There are a bunch of ministries listed on the back, and we would love to have you get more involved here at the church. So we pray that you would take a moment to fill it out and just put it in the offering plate when it goes by later on in the service. That would be a huge blessing to us. In addition to that, we've got yellow connection cards in the pew at back in front of you. And if there is anything that we can be praying for you or alongside you about, we encourage you to take a moment and fill out those yellow prayer cards. And you can also put those in the offering plate as they go by. And there's a group that meets every Thursday and prays over all of those concerns. So if there's anything that we can be praying for you or somebody that you care about, we encourage you to do that and fill those out and give those back to us so that we can be in prayer for you. As we gather for worship this day, I'm just grateful that we have the strings here, we have the bells here. We've pulled all the strings, literally. So we're doing everything we can. So thank you to Judy and Arla for leading us in song this morning, and for Susan, who's back from a wonderful vacation somewhere warm. So Susan, put the sun and bring it back for us, okay? Just like bring it back in. And for those of you who are worshiping online, we're grateful to have you join us for worship this morning as well. And I invite you to please stand as you are able and join us in worshiping God together this day.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Lucas Sang. I'm a senior at Brighton High School. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we come to you poor in spirit and in need of you. Help us to feel your presence in worship today, and carry us with us into all we see and do and feel. Help us to see the world through grace-colored glasses, as you would see it. In your name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to salvation. Amen. We've been focusing on this beautiful hymn, this hymn that we oftentimes sing at nearly every memorial services when you ask folks and you sit down with them and you're like, what hymns would you like to have sung at your memorial service? People might throw out How Great Thou Art or something in the garden. There are lots of wonderful hymns from memorial services, but oftentimes many people will say the song that I want to have sung at my family member's memorial service is Amazing Grace. It touches us deeply to hear the song. And in fact, every time I hear it played on an organ or bagpipes, it revs up in me this deep feeling of emotion because the words are so incredibly heavy. And the words are heavy because the person who wrote them, their life was filled with intense experiences. Perhaps you know all of this, but John Newton was the author of this hymn, Amazing Grace, and his life, you wouldn't necessarily guess it from the words that he wrote on this particular hymn, but his life was filled with all kinds of crazy experiences. Early on in his experience in life, he was a slave trader. That was his role. He was a captain of a ship that would be a part of the triangular trade through the Atlantic Ocean. He would go to the parts of West Africa and capture people, be a part of that journey, and deliver them horrific conditions across the Atlantic Ocean, sometimes taking months at a time to get across the ocean and take them to the Americas for delivery, for profit, for folks in Great Britain. His journey through this was recorded in diary entries that he made while crossing across the Atlantic Ocean, and the stories that he wrote about were absolutely horrific, as you can imagine. He wrote all kinds of testimonies about people dying of disease, being malnourished, starved to death, being taken advantage of on the slave trade. And in the midst of that experience, later on in his life, he came to this moment where he could no longer justify within himself these terrible practices of slavery. And despite the fact that he and his family were benefiting from the economic experiences of the slave trade, he became a staunch abolitionist, advocating for the end of the slave trade in Great Britain years and years before it ever became a conversation here in the United States. Now, most of us, when we think of Amazing Grace, we don't have anything like this on our hearts and minds, right? We don't necessarily realize that these words were born out of one of the most terrible practices that exist in human experience, the idea of owning people as property, and yet that was exactly John Newton's experience growing up. And so he writes this second stanza that we're studying today, right? It was grace that taught my heart to fear. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about Amazing Grace, I think about God's love and how God's love transforms and saves us and makes things better and makes us not afraid, right? When I think about God being on my side, quite often what I think about is a God that sort of has my back, that's pushing me up, that's telling me not to be afraid. And there are some people that write that in Scripture, it oftentimes says, do not be what? Afraid. And yet it says in this particular hymn, which sometimes we just sing right through without even pausing to think about, it was grace that taught my heart to. Isn't that strange? Now, oftentimes, when I think about grace, I have this completely different image in my mind. This belief that God's standing behind me and that everything will be okay. But when you think about John Newton and his life, his experiences, it's not hard to see how God's grace in a moment in his life taught him how to be afraid. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't believe that God stands up and supports the practices of slavery in these times. And so there was this moment for John Newton as he was going across the Atlantic Ocean where he had this moment of conversion. This moment that he could no longer justify the life that he was living, this moment where he went from living in what I would imagine or describe as sin, right, to profit on the backs of owning other people as slaves, to this moment of great awakening where he becomes a staunch abolitionist, going back to Great Britain and naming and claiming that we should no longer be a part of this terrible practice of owning and enslaving other people. And I got to believe there was a part of him when he realized that God was real, that God was just, that God was for, you know, human liberation and transforming people's life and hope and love and grace, that there was this moment for him when he realized that he had been a part of something that was terrible. And maybe you've had a moment like that as well, where you're sort of coasting through life, doing things that if they were brought to light, if everybody knew about them, you would be ashamed. And all of a sudden, you realize that this is not what God intended for you. This wasn't the way that God wanted you to live your life. This wasn't the way that God sort of laid a path for you to live out the rest of your life. And you have this moment where your eyes are awakened or your heart is opened and you realize, I just can't live like this anymore. In the Methodist Church, we have language for that, thanks to John Wesley. We talked last week about prevenient grace, the grace that comes before, and this week we're looking at something called justifying grace, the grace that comes when we accept God's love in our life, and that's what happened at a certain particular point in John Newton's life when he accepted that he could no longer live the way that he was living, and he changed his life. He quit his job, which probably took food and security off of his family's table, and he became an Anglican priest. From slave owner to pastor. Not necessarily overnight, it took him a period of time. But you talk about transformation. I mean, it almost takes like somebody who's a part of a recovery community to describe that kind of complete reorientation of values, the way he lived his life. And he became a spiritual advisor to William Wilberforce in Great Britain, who did a huge amount of work over 46 years to bring about the abolition of the slave trade in Great Britain. And so he starts the second stanza of this song that we sing all the time, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." And I got to believe that there were moments in his life that he wrestled, and I know he did because you can read it in his journal entries, which are all published online. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I was sort of reading his book about the slave trade and reading some of these journal entries where he seriously wondered if God could ever forgive him for the things that he did and the ways that he took advantage of people in West Africa and the mistakes that he made. And he wrestled with that all the way up almost until the end of his life. God, will you ever forgive me? But then comes the second part of that verse. And grace, my fears relieved. And anybody who's ever wrestled with guilt or shame knows that there's something so incredibly powerful about being forgiven, about having this moment where guilt and shame feels like this big weight that's on your shoulders, that's on your back, that you're carrying around with you everywhere you go. And at some moment in your life, if you come to God and you come to God with an open heart and you say, God, there's nothing that I can do to take this backpack of rocks that I'm carrying around in my life. I don't know what to do with that anymore. And God simply says, you're forgiven. It's no more. I no longer am concerned about that. You are a brand new creation through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, and you feel that enormous weight that's lifted off of your shoulders, and you feel forgiven. Then you know that this second line of this verse is true. That it's possible to go from being weighed down, burdened, afraid, anxious about how God sees you, to being completely released. It's an amazing experience. And for those of you who are deep into studies of psychology, you know that people change their behavior for one of maybe two or three reasons, depending on how you read this. I hope I get this right for our psychologists in the room. But basically, you know, it comes down to this. You either change because people continue to reinforce your positive behavior, or you change because you're uncomfortable with the way that you're going about your life. There are negative consequences that change us, and there are positive consequences that change us. And I got to believe that for some of us, this moment of justification comes with both of those. We can no longer live this life where we're hurting other people and we're hurting ourselves or we're doing things that we're ashamed of. And that's part of what changes us. But on the other side is there's a God that's standing there that's saying, I love you, I forgive you, I'm never going to stop forgiving you. You are okay, I see you exactly as you are, everything's going to be all right. And we feel that warmth, we feel that backpack being thrown off of our shoulders, and we don't have to live with that guilt and shame anymore, and we can be free and liberated and totally emancipated from that experience of shame and guilt through the forgiveness that comes in Jesus Christ. Have you ever had that fear and anxiety lifted off of your shoulders? Have you ever felt what it feels like when you know you've done something terrible and somebody looks at you and says, I forgive you for what you've done? And if you know what that's all about, then you know what this hymn is all about as well. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's amazing to me that when we're sometimes engaged with stuff that's shameful, when we're engaged with things that we're not proud of, it's so easy for us to get tunnel vision, right? And I've got to believe the captains of those slave ships, they just closed their eyes and their hearts to some terrible things that were happening all around them. And in one of John Newton's diaries, he said that we have to abolish slavery because it is destroying the conscience and the goodwill of all of Great Britain. Too many people are caught up in this. Too many people daily observe blatant atrocities taken out towards other human beings. And as a result of that, we are all losing our souls. And as soon as he brought it to light, and he wrote about people being shackled inside ships for entire weeks at a time, as soon as he talked about the ways in which British captains were taking advantage of people in West Africa by stirring up trouble so that they could economically profit, and how it was corrupting the soul of Great Britain, within a short period of time, the slave trade was abolished. There's something powerful about naming the things that are going on in our world that we're not proud of. There's something powerful about telling those stories. Our brothers and sisters in the recovery community always say the first step to resolving any sort of behavioral issue or addiction that somebody's fighting is what? To admit that we have a problem. And for a lot of us, that's the first step. If we can get ourselves to say, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to remain addicted to drugs or alcohol. I don't want to abuse people anymore. I don't want to hurt somebody anymore. If we can just have the courage to say, I'm powerless. I can't fix this. I can't do it by myself. I believe that's where the transformation starts. And I believe with all of my heart that people can change, that they can start somewhere and end somewhere else. If somebody can start as a captain on a slave ship and end up an Anglican priest, then friends, that's good news for you and me. If you have ever been in a place in your life where you're like, I don't know if God can forgive A, B, C, D, E, and F that I've done in my life, I'm here to tell you that God can. And God will. And I believe that God is standing there just literally ready to take that backpack off of your shoulders and to say, this isn't the way that I see you anymore. And that's what this hymn is all about. That grace that God offers us, that grace that God allows us to experience, that grace that transforms us, that grace that makes us ever more into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. And John Wesley experienced that actually reading the exact same book that we read in our scripture passage today, the book of Romans. He was sitting there at Aldersgate and he described this experience that he had where his heart was strangely warmed. This moment that he can point to in his life where he realized that God's love was real for him. And friends, I hope that you've experienced that. This moment that you've claimed God's grace in your life, this moment that you've accepted God's forgiveness for you, which hopefully has allowed you to forgive yourself as well. And that allows you to forgive other people when they do terrible things to you. If you know what it's like to be forgiven, it becomes so much easier to forgive other people. And so I want to encourage us to claim our moments of justification, to claim those moments that God's grace penetrated our hearts and transformed us into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Because God can change anybody if we only accept that grace. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your forgiveness, for the forgiveness that makes us better people, for the forgiveness that transforms us in our lives, for the forgiveness that makes us whole. We pray for those who continue to seek that forgiveness in all the wrong ways, for those that seek to cover it up, for those that seek to deny it, for those that have not yet experienced what it's like to have that weight lifted from their shoulders. We pray that we might be a part of those who would remind them that God is a God of justification, that God is a God of grace, and that they do not have to fear anymore. Allow us to feel that grace in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
everybody said, amen. It's hard to follow all these emotional things, but thank you, John, for your message, and Bells, for your music. We're going to spend some time together in prayer, and I wanted to start, I'm Suzanne Everett, in case I forgot to say that. Let's pray for our prayer quilts and our recipients of these two quilts. We're praying for Ken and for Derek. If you would join me online and in person, let's bless these. Blessings for Ken and for Derek. May these quilts be a representation of our love and the comfort and healing and power and grace of God. As they wrap in them, may it bring healing and health and wholeness to them. Amen. So here we are on the eve of Valentine's Day, which, depending on your sitcom watching history, you may also know as Galentine's Day. It's a day created by Leslie Knope, the lead character on Parks and Rec. Anybody? Couple, yeah? She created this day because she wanted to let her friends know how much she loved and appreciated them. And when we read Christian texts, we will often hear of different kinds of love. And noting that the Greeks had not just one word for love as we do, they expressed love in five or six different words. And a little article from Sojourners Magazine, if you want to look it up, helped me understand some of these words. So hold on to that thought, that concept of love in all its forms, as we turn our hearts and our minds and our bodies to prayer. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we open our hearts to you. We shift our thinking to embrace what you want us to learn. We move our bodies to accept the direction you will give us in this hour of prayer, praise, and worship. Thank you, God of philia, the love of family and friends. It is this deep love that sparkles our eyes when we think of our parents, our siblings, our children, and extended family. Lord, bless these, our dear ones. Hold them in the palm of your hand. Comfort them, heal them. Help us to show our love for them each day, even in the midst of conflict or distance or busyness. Bless these relationships with your Holy Spirit that they are strong like a cord of three strands. Thank you, God of agape, or love of all people. Through Jesus Christ, we learn how to show compassion to our neighbors, to the outcast, to those shunned by society, whatever that means. Help us to not just show compassion to the other, but to understand and walk alongside one another, even in our differences. Bless us and enable us through the Holy Spirit to embrace all the branches of your created world. Thank you, God of philautia, or love of oneself. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes the echoes of the world are not kind, and our minds replay our mistakes. We dwell on our shortcomings and forget that, God, you are ready to forgive us and redeem us through your amazing grace. So, Lord, help us through the Holy Spirit to be open to your love so that we would feel loved as your children, your creatures made in your image. Thank you, God of Ludos, the playful love that reminds us to come to you as children with innocence and playfulness, to delight in laughter, to appreciate a taste of delicious food, to feel the freedom of a walk in the woods, the snowflakes coming down gently, or a stroll on the beach. Lord, help us to receive this kind of fellowship and love and to share it with others in your name. Thank you, God of Eros, or romantic love, and Pragma, the long-standing love, These gifts of love excite us when we are falling in love and sustain us as we move towards standing in love with compromise and patience. Lord, through the Holy Spirit, bless us with the love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Now, God of love, hear the prayers in our hearts that we lift up now with a moment of silent reflection. And now join our voices together, repeating the prayer of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for that beautiful prayer. As we continue in our worship service together, we have an opportunity to respond to this call in our life through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And as we prepare to do that, I just wanted to share that for the last couple of weeks, we were collecting socks for Community Connect. And last Saturday, they had the big gathering at the 242 Church down the street here. And our church was able to give. We had a goal of getting 1,000 socks, and we collected 1,500 socks, which was an amazing expression of generosity. So, yeah, thank you for your generous support. As we think about these moments in our life when we felt justified, when we've had our eyes open, when we went from being asleep to being awake, one of the ways that folks experience that they live that out is sometimes when you realize that you've been living in a way that you don't want to live, the next step might be to reach out and get help. And as a church, over the last couple of weeks, we've also been collecting money for the Samaritan Counseling Center to help individuals who are looking to get help that way. And I'm really grateful to be able to share that we're well on our way towards our goal. We've collected over $1,000 towards our goal this year and continue to do that as we move through this year to help people who have that moment where they realize that they can't make the kind of changes that they want to make by themselves, and so they need a therapist. They need somebody to walk with them as they make those changes in their life. And I'm grateful that our church has taken seriously the reality of mental health. So as the ushers move through the service this morning, as they pass the plates, we invite you to give generously so that we can help spread this good news of Jesus Christ, that we can help people change, that we can help give people a second chance, that we can help people live lives filled with the kind of love that Suzanne talked about in our prayers. Will the ushers please come forward and assist us in this morning's offering?
Lord and Savior, we are so grateful to you to be alive, in you. We bring our offerings to your ministry. Help our offerings to transform the world into the place you would like it to be. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I agree, Suzanne. The music this morning was very moving, so thank you so much for playing with us this day. And I just want to use that as an invitation. If you feel moved to join the bell choir, to join the choir, to be a part of the music ministry of our church, I have heard you sing, walking up and down these aisles, and some of you all have gifts, and we would love to continue to use those gifts to continue to bring glory to God's name as we close out our service this day. I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to work within your life, that you would experience that grace and forgiveness for yourself, and like a cascading fountain, that you would pour that grace into the lives of folks all around you. I hope that you feel that grace yourself. As you go out into the world, we want to let you know that our youth and children's ministry have two retreats that are coming up. They have a retreat that's coming up in a week here. And so we encourage you to be in prayer for them as they go away on a quick weekend retreat. Yesterday, we went skiing at Mount Brighton. There were several of us there from the church. My legs are tired. I don't know about anybody else who was there, but I am still in recovery from that. But there are lots of wonderful opportunities to get involved here in the church. And I encourage you, if you are watching online, we're just grateful that you've decided to make this your spiritual home. We just finished our statistical reports as a church, which probably is sort of dull for all of you, but one of the things we realized is about half of our church is worshiping online right now. And that makes sense, but we just want to let those folks know that they matter. And if you could do us one favor, we encourage you as you depart from this place, if you're on a social media platform, if you would just share this service or a service that's meaningful for you, it's one of the ways that we can continue to build this church. As you go out into the world, I pray that you carry the light of Christ with you everywhere you go. As you depart from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.